In her heart of hearts, Constance Spaker was not like ordinary Black folks. Perhaps the most significant fact about her, she often said, was that her parents were not African Americans. My parents were not Southerners, and their background and outlook were very different from the American Negroes, she insisted. Their background was European. Willoughby and Rachel, her father and mother, hailed from Nevis, a little island paradise in the West Indies that was until 1983 a British colony. They felt themselves cultured, cosmopolitan. Their hearts were with the British crown, and in their household, nobody could speak against the king or queen, because that was a sin. Baker's parents immigrated to the United States soon after the turn of the 20th century and settled in New Haven, Connecticut. Born on September 14, 1921, Constance Juanita Baker grew up in the college town, a refuge for immigrants from all over Europe. New Haven was then home to about 2,000 Black people, including a few hundred immigrants and a much larger group of African American immigrants from the South. Baker's father couldn't stand American Blacks. Growing up, she heard him denigrate them often, saying that they allowed themselves to be debased by Jim Crow and were content in their wretched condition. American Blacks were plainly inferior to those, like himself, of European stock. Her family's origins in Nevis, which was proudly touted as a foundation of the British Empire, and their move to New Haven, a bastion of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant elite, profoundly shaped the upbringing and identity of the girl who grew up to become the civil rights queen. By the time Willoughby Baker and Rachel Huggins departed Nevis for the United States, hundreds of islanders had already fled the colony to find work along the eastern seaboard. As word of the earliest Nevisians' success in their new environment got back to the Caribbean, others followed suit. Edward Huggins, Rachel's brother, was the first in the family to leave the island for the States. He worked on vessels traveling between New York and the Caribbean for a while, briefly lived in New York and worked in construction, and settled in New Haven in 1905, after he crossed paths with some Yale students in the New York Theater District who advised him of easier service jobs there. He eventually found work as the steward of the University Club at Yale. Willoughby, Edward's friend and Rachel's boyfriend, sailed to the United States in 1906 in pursuit of the same opportunity that Edward had found in New Haven. In 1907, Rachel, an 18 or 19-year-old, then working as a seamstress and in a preschool, gave up her plans to be a schoolteacher and followed Willoughby to America. The passage to New Haven cost $25, and the boat ride took about a week, she remembered. The pair soon married. Just as for many other immigrants, for the Bakers, the United States represented a chance to escape the misery that had enveloped Nevis following emancipation in 1834. A beautiful volcanic landmass, the island, along with its people, had lived through a tragic history. During the 17th and 18th centuries, sugar made Nevis one of Britain's most profitable colonies. Europeans lusted after sugar, the white gold that sweetened their coffee and tea, and the confections that became staples of the wealthy Western diet. The market grew exponentially, and for a time, demand outstripped supply. The average English person's consumption of sugar rose from 4 pounds per year in 1700 to 47 in 1870. Sugar also made the island a center of the Atlantic slave trade, fueling planters' entanglement in human bondage. British planters developed a brutal system of forced labor in the West Indies to produce the sweet crystals after which Westerners so hungered. Enslaved Afro-Caribbeans and, in an earlier era, white indentured servants were put to the punishing work of sugarcane cultivation for as long as 18 hours a day, 6 days a week. After the crop was planted and harvested, the production process shifted from the fields to the factories.